Okay, today's daf is Bracha Daf Nun. We're at the bottom of Mem Tet. I'm going to read the Gemara. Amar Shmuel Leolam Al Yotzi Adam Et Atzmo Min HaKlal. You should never remove yourself from the congregation. You should always include yourself in the congregation when you're davening, making bracha. Tnan, we daven a Mishnah B'Shlosha V'Hu Omer Baruchu. That if you have three people and yourself, three people in addition to yourself, then you say Baruchu, which is indicative of you should bless, because you're telling three people who can make a mezumen on their own that they should bless Kadosh Baruch Hu through a mezumen. However, if you said Nevarich, you'd be including yourself. So why should you say Baruch Hu instead of Nevarich? Baruch Hu excludes yourself from that count. Ema ach Baruch Hu. No, maybe the Mishnah is trying to mechadesh to you. Even Baruch Hu works. Mikol makom Nevarich adif. But certainly saying Nevarich is preferable. The Amar Rav Ada Bar Abba Amri Bei Rav. Because we can prove this idea from the following statement. Tanina Melim De Breita. Shisha Nechlekin Adasara. If you have six people who wait together, they're allowed to divide into groups of three to make a mezumin up until 10. Because if you divide into groups of three, no one loses their mezumin. But once you have more than 10, then someone's going to lose the possibility to say Shem Hashem, which is unique by making a mezumin with 10 people. So if you want to say that it makes perfect sense, it makes total sense if you say that saying Nevarich is preferable, and that's why you're allowed to divide if you have six people and do two groups of three. Both of those groups would be saying Nevarich, and that's perfectly fine. Eliyamar Baruch Hu Adif. But if you want to say it's preferable always to say Baruch Hu, I mean, the moment you have four, you should say Baruch Hu, right? Am I Nechlekin? Then why do we let you break up six? If you break up six into two threes, no one's saying Baruch Hu. Elalav Shmamina Nevarich Adif Shmamina. So we learn from here that it must be that saying Nevarich is preferable. Indeed, we can learn from here. Tanin Namiachis, then we turn to Brighton. Bein Shamar Baruch Hu, Bein Shamar Nevarich. Whether you said Baruch Hu or Nevarich, Ain't Tovsinot Avakach. We're not, we don't reprimand you because they're both technically acceptable. Vanidaktikin, Tovsinot Avakach. But the ones who are very, very particular will reprimand you for it because there is a better way of going about it, and that's saying Nevarich to include yourself in the bracha. Adam Nikarim Tamil Chacham, who in love. Right? And from the brachas that a person makes, we can tell if it's Tamil Chacham or not. Ketzad, how so? Rabbi Omer, uvtuvo, arez tamil chacham. Where? When you say, Baruch Shechan Mishlo, uvtuvo chayinu, meaning that our life comes from his goodness, that's tamil chacham. Umituvo, arez bur. But if you say, umituvo chayinu, that our life is from his goodness, that's an ignoramus. Right? How so? Why would that be the case? Because you're limiting the goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you by giving you life. Don't underestimate how much goodness that actually is. Mituvo, he's giving part of his goodness to us in our lives. He's not giving us all of his goodness in our lives, just part of it. Right? So that's not a statement a Talmud Chacham would make. Amar le Abaye, l'Rav Dimi, v'achtiv u'ud birchatecha yivarech beit avadecha. But wait a second, don't we say Umi Birchatecha Yivarach Beit Avadecha, that from your blessings you should bless the house of your servants? So we don't ask for all of his blessings, we ask for some of his blessings, B'She'el HaShami, right? Because here you're asking, you're not praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu who gives you so much goodness, you're asking for something. You have to be careful how much you're asking for. It's rude to ask for too much, and therefore we only ask for some of the bracha, we don't ask for all of the bracha. But when we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should praise it for everything. B'Sheila Nami Akti, boy, it's like, isn't it also written by Sheila Harchev Picha Vamaleu? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, you're allowed to open your mouth and ask for anything. Anything that you want. In which case, what are we being so bashful for? Ahu B'Divrei Torah Akti. Yeah, that's talking about words of Torah. It's not talking about just anything. We're allowed to ask for anything in terms of Talmud Torah. Tanya, we learned in the Braita, Rabbi Omer, Tuvo Chayinu Arayin Talmud Chacham. If you say the words, B'Tuvo Chayinu, that's Talmud Chacham. Chaim are zippor, right? But if you say Tuvo Chaim, that's an ignoramus. Why would that be the case? Because you're excluding yourself. Chayinu, our lives. Chaim, that's very general, and you're not including yourself. Nahar Belai matni ipcha v'leg hilchata k'nahar Belai. Right? Nahar Belai says no, the opposite. I should say Chaim because that includes all types of living things. But the halacha is not like it. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Nevarech Shachanu Mishlo Arizat Talmud Chacham. If you said Nevarech Shachanu Mishlo, we're going to bless the one we ate from. That's Talmud Chacham. Lemi Shachanu Mishlo. But if you say from whom we ate Arizat Bor, that's an ignoramus. Amar Le Rav Acha. Well, the reason for that, by the way, is because saying though we're blessing from whom we ate makes it sound like, well, there's a lot of people who could have sustained us. We're going to bless God on this one who gave us this food. But you know, there are a lot of people who could have sustained us. We just happened to have eaten from God's food. Right? Whereas, if you say, you're blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gives food and who gives sustenance, and he's the only one who does it. I'm a Lervacha B'rei D'Rav, a Lervashi, V'amrin and L'misha, Salah V'tein V'lanu V'tko L'nisim, Ha'elu Boi. Don't we say, to whom, who did all these nisim, all these miracles for our forefathers and for us? So there we say, to who? It makes sound like, you know, anyone could be doing these, but we're just going to bless the one who did it. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Leah, Hata Muchacha Milta, Man Avid Nisa Kucha Brichu. No. There's no Havamina. By giving sustenance, you might want to say, maybe I'm thanking this person, maybe I'm thanking that person. No, I'm going to thank God. Right? But it could have come from multiple places. By Nisim, it couldn't have come from multiple places. Who does Nisim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu does miracles. It doesn't make sense to say it's anyone else. From the fact that we're talking about Nisim, it's Muchach that we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It couldn't be anyone else. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Baruch She'achanu Mishalo, Ariz Tam Chacham. If you said, blessed is the one from whom we ate, that's Tam Chacham. Alamazon She'achanu, but if you say, on the food that we ate, Ariz Impor, that's an ignoramus. Why? Because you didn't mention who it came from. It came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Ravuna Breda Rav Yeshua, Lo Amron Ela B'Gimel, Delik Hashem Shemayim. By the way, that's only if you have a mezumah of three, where you don't say Shem Hashem, V'Basara Di, Kishem Shemayim, Muchach Hamilta. When you have 10, you say Shem Hashem in the Mizomin, then you're already talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's obvious who you're thanking for. And how do we know that's the case? It's not, because we live in a Mishnah. Ke'ein shum varech kach oni. This is our Mishnah. Just like the person makes the bracha of the Mizomin, that is how you're supposed to respond to them. Right? How so? Baruch Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, Elokei HaTzvakot, Yosheva Keruvim, Alamazon She'achanu. How does that Mizomin end? Alamazon She'achanu, the food that we ate. It doesn't say from whom the food comes, because we already said Shem Hashem, Muchach Milta, we know we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't have to say from whom the food comes. Echad Asar V'Echad Asar Ribo. Right, so we said that nothing changes whether it's 10 people or 10,000 people. Haguf HaKashi, wait, that's internally contradictory in the Mishnah. Amar Echad Asar V'Echad Asar Ribo Alma Ki Adade Ninhu. Right, you taught that Benkach V'Benkach, whether I had 10 or 10,000, you say them the same bracha. It's the same gear. V'adakatani, but after we talk, b'meya omer, b'elef omer, b'riba omer. Different things to say, whether it's 100, it's 1,000, or 10,000. Right? That's contradictory. Amar Rav Yosef, lo kasha, that's not difficult. Har Rav Yosef, glida, Rav Akiva. One's Rav Yosef, glida, shita. One's Rav Akiva, shita. It's not Rav Yosef, glida, omer, because we learned in the Mishnah, Rav Yosef, glida, omer, l'fi rov hakal, hem b'varchim. Right? That's our Mishnah. That you always say the different bracha depending on how much of the congregation you have. Shneimar makalot brachu elokim. As we stated, in the multitudes of congregations, we bless Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi Yossi believes it changes. Rabbi Kiva doesn't believe it changes. Rabbi Kiva haven't seen a Beit Knesset. So Rabbi Kiva points out that just like we saw in a Beit Knesset, you don't change things whether you have a few or many. Similar here too. Rabbi Kiva, high brother Rabbi Yossi Aglili by Avidle. But one second. Rabbi Yossi Aglili has a pasuk. So then, according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili's pasuk, we're supposed to say different bracha. So what does Rabbi Akiva do? We're supposed to say different girsah, depending on how many people we have. What does Rabbi Akiva do with that pasuk? Mi ba'ile l'kiritanya. No. Rabbi Akiva needs that pasuk for that which we taught in the following brayta. Hayah Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir would say the following. Minayin she'afilu ubarij me'iman amu shir alayam. I don't know that even the fetuses in their mother's womb still said praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the Yam Suf Shneimar states b'makilot, right, in the ingatherings where we were all gathered together at Kriyat Yam Suf Baruch Hu Elokim Hashem blessed HaKadosh Baruch Hu mimakor Yisrael from the source of Israel. What does it mean mimakor? Where's the source? So where do we all come from? Well, we all come from our mother's fetus. That's what it means mimakor Yisrael. We bless them from Makor Yisrael. They're even the fetuses in the mother's womb. Blessed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Idach, okay, what does Rabbi Yossi Aglili do there? Mimakor Nafka. Right, he still learns it, Mimakor. Meaning we're making a drasha from Bimakelot, right? But Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, no, I can learn that up from Mimakor. From the fact that you mentioned Mimakor, I know that's talking about the fetuses in the mother's womb, and therefore, therefore, I don't need Makalot to teach me a unique din. I learn everything I need to learn from the Makor. Mimakor Nafka. That's where I learned it from. Amar Rava, Halach Rav Akiva. Rava says Halach Rav Akiva, you don't change the gear. So Ravina Rav Chama Bar Buzi equal to Bei Resh Gluta. And when they went to Resh Gluta, Kam Rav Chama, become a Hadar Rav Emea. So Rav Chama got up and he started looking for 100 people. I really didn't make him a Zubin of 100. Amar Ravina Lo Tzrich, Hachi, Amar Rava, Halach Rav Akiva. You don't need to do that. Halach Rav Akiva. It doesn't make a difference if you have 10 or 100. Amar Rava, ki achlinu rivta be Resh Gluta, we were eating bread by the Resh Gluta, mevarchim gimel gimel. Right, so the Resh Gluta kind of had a long meal, and everyone there, they wouldn't leave, but kind of three people who were sitting next to each other would kind of break into these groups and make a mezumen. V'livarchu yud yud, why would they break into groups of three? They had a lot of people there, they should break into groups of 10. Shema Resh Gluta ve'ikpi. Because the Resh Gluta is going to hear, then if we have to yell so 10 people can hear, Resh Gluta is going to hear, and he's going to be angry that we're making, that we're kind of separating ourselves in terms of the brachot. Okay, simple solution. How about you wait for the Resh Gluta to finish eating, and be yosef the Resh brachot. Because everyone's answering the Resh Gluta, we don't actually hear what he's saying. So it's a big problem. We're here till the end. We listen to his mezumen. We're not trying to leave early. Just I can't hear anything he's saying. Amar Rava Tosfa, Hani Gimel Dekarche Rifta Bade Dadi Vekadim Chadri Neu Barich Ledate Barich Ledate. So you have three people eating together, and one of them says, "Yeah, I gotta go." So he just makes a bracha himself. Inu Nafkinan Bezimun Didei. Inu Lo Nafki Bezimun Didei. Right. So the two of them, we're gonna look at the third guy and be like, "What do you do? We had a mezumen here." So they can actually still be Yotze through his mezumen. He can answer to them and they have a mezumen. However, he's not Yotze through that. Lefisha Ein Zimun Lemefret. He already benched, he's not allowed to do Zimun. But he's not allowed to be Yotze Zimun, but he can still be Mashlin De Zimun. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Rafram Bar Papa, Iko Lebe Knishta, Da Abi Givar. Rafram Bar Papa went to the Knesset of Abi Givar, either a name or a place. Kam Krabi Safra, right? So he got up to the Sefer Torah, Va'amar, and he said the following, Baruchu Et Hashem. Ve'ishtik, and he stopped at the Baruch Hu Hashem. It's Machlok Rabbi Kiyur Shmo. Ve'lo Amar Am Vorach, it is the Baruch Hashem Vorach. Ishvu Kulei Alma. Everyone answered after him, Baruch Hu Hashem Vorach. They answered after him, Baruch Hashem HaMevorach. Right? They didn't really take mind to the fact that he said Baruch Hashem. They're going to respond now, they know to respond. Amar Rava Pita Uchma. So Rava calls him a blackened pot. Because this isn't its first rodeo. It means like you got experience here. You're not a fresh, clean pot. You've been used a couple times. Meaning you know what the deal is here. This isn't your first time. This isn't your first time passing halacha. You're holding. So why then are you making silly mistakes like poking your head into machlokets and being machria like Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Shmuel? But everyone agrees that you're allowed to say Baruch Hashem Vorach, and that's preferable. You should have done that as to not get involved in the machloket as to whether or not you should say Mvorach. Ve'od, and furthermore, and even more so, we already have an establishment on to act like Rabbi Shmuel. Why would you go ahead and pass like Rabbi Akiva here? But nitin shlosh shachul keachad einan rishayim lichalek. Right, three people laid together, they're not allowed to separate. They have to make a mezumen. V'chein ar v'chein chamisha. Similar by 4 and 5, because everyone there needs a mezumen. Shisha nechakin. But once you have 6, you have to divide, because 2 groups of 3 can make mezumen. Ad asara. And that only goes until 10. V'asara ein nechakin. Once you have 10, you can't be cholik, because then anyone who leaves that group is not going to be able to say Shem Hashem. Ad shu esrim. But once you have esrim, once you have 20, you're allowed to make 2 groups of 10. If you had 2 groups of people and they were eating in one house, as long as part of them could see each other, some of the people, the group could see each other, then they could all join one zimun. But if they can't see each other, they each make a mezumen by themselves. You're not supposed to make a bracha. It's machloket as to whether or not you can make a bracha on the wine until you put in a little bit of water. Why? Because their wine was very, very strong. It wasn't meant to be drank at that point in its full strength. You're supposed to add water to it, dilute it a little bit, and that's when it comes drinkable wine. So you shouldn't make a gafin on drinkable wine. That's the machloket they had. Gemara, Maika Mashmalan. Okay, what is this coming to teach us actually? Tanina Chadazina, because you already taught us once, Gimel Shachol Geachar Chayavin Lazamin. Right? You taught me that if I had three people, they have a Chiyuv to Zimun. Why do you have to now teach me that if you have three people, they can't divide? Of course they can't break up. They have a Chiyuv to Zimun. Haka Mashmalan, Ki Adama Rabbi Abba, Mashmol. Well, what I wanted to indicate to you is that which Rabbi Abba said in the name of Shmuel. Meaning three people who sat to eat together, even if they haven't already eaten, they're not allowed to divide themselves. Alternatively, I want to teach you the following. Even if they're all eating their own meal, they're not allowed to separate. Maybe you thought if they're all splitting a bread, they can't separate. No, they're even eating from one meal. They're not allowed to separate. Inami, alternatively, Gihadi Rav Huna, Dama Rav Huna. Alternatively, it could have been that which Rav Huna taught, because Rav Huna taught the following, Gimel Shiba'u Migimel Chaburot. If three people came from three different groups, Ein Rishayim L'Chalik, they're not allowed to separate. Amar Rav Chizda, Vahu Shiba'u Migimel Chaburot, Shal Gimel B'nei Adam. That simply came from three groups of three people, meaning nine people are eating. Three groups of three all ate together. One person in each group left. And they found each other. And now they have a new group created by one person of each of the previous groups. But they all invited upon themselves the obligation to make mezumin by the fact that when they did eat, they ate with groups of three. In which case, they're all chayv and mezumin. And so, but you need three to make the mezumin. Okay, but they're all chayv and mezumin. They're not chayv in the same mezumin. But you have three with a chiyuv, and therefore you can make a mezumin right then and there. Amar Rava velo Arman Ela delo Akdimu Hanach veAzmon Alayhu. We're only talking about Biduchtayu. That's only the case if the original group that they were a part of didn't already make a mezumin with them. Aval Izmon Alayhu Biduchtayu Parach Zimun Minayhu. However, if the case was like this, where they made a mezumin, but you didn't say Birkat HaMazon, right? We spoke with this case. You go outside and they're like, hey, we want to say Birkat HaMazon. So answer us real quick. And so they start the zimun, and you answer, they say Birkat HaMazon, and you don't. Right? And then you and two other people in the same scenario find each other. You don't make a mezumin there. Right? You weren't Yotzi, but you can't make a mezumin anymore. Amar Rava Amina Amina La, and how do I know this to be the case? It's not as done in Mishnah. A bed that was partially, part of it was stolen, or part of it was lost, or it was divided amongst brothers or partners. Tahora, it's tahor. I think we learned earlier that the only thing that can become tameh is a proper kli. A broken kli, a broken vessel can't become tameh. Shards of a kli are not tameh. Only if it's a proper intact kli. And if you're missing half of the bed, it's not properly intact. In which case, if it was Tameh, it is now Tahor. It loses its Shem Tumah. It's not shy. It's not relevant to call it Tameh anymore. It's half a Kli. But what if they put the bed back together? Mikabela Tumah, Mikanu'ava. It is now susceptible to being, to contracting Tumah. Mikan l'haba in l'mafreyla. And I can be bindayak from there that only in the future it'll become Tameh. But we don't apply Tumah to it retroactively. You put it back together, it's like a new bed. It doesn't bring back the Tumah that it had once before. Alma came on the palguha parach la Tumah. So the moment you took it apart, so then the whole status of Tumah left it. Right? Mina, from it. Hachanami, so you came on the azman alayhu parach zimun b'naihu. Since they made a mizumin with him involved, and they made a birkat hamazon, essentially what they did was they disbanded. They had a group of three, it was an established group of three. What the mezumin, the birkat hamazon does is it breaks apart that group of three. That is what they did. In which case, once they're officially broken apart, the three of them are now broken apart. They included the mezumin and then they continue to make the bracha. So then just like when you break the bed apart, the tumah disappears. So when you break the three apart, the chiyuv for zimun disappears, even if you weren't actually yotzei. Bet chabur, you said two groups eating together. Tana, or in their general vicinity. Tana, im yesh shamash b'neim, shamash b'tzarfan. If the same waiter is serving both tables, then they're mitzaref, even if they can't see. Ein mevarech al yayin. You don't make a brach on the yayin, tana rabban. Yayin, ad shelo natan l'toch ha'mayim, ein varechin alav. Until you put a little bit of wine, of water in the wine to dilute it, so it's normal to drink, you don't make a bracha of berei pri agafen. Because this did come from a fruit of a tree. And another thing, you can actually use it to wash your hands until you die. Because as long as it isn't brei pri agaf, and as long as it isn't considered wine as a din of mei peiro, liquids that come out of fruit, you're allowed to wash your hands with. But once you put water in the wine, then you say brei pri agaf, and you're not allowed to use it for until you die. So we have a shita. Says no matter what, whether you put water in it, whether you put water in or not, you say brei pri agaf, you may not use it for until you die. Kiman azla. So whose sheet does that follow? Hadam or Shmuel? Shmuel says, "Ose adam kol tachav bepat." You're allowed to do anything with bread, right? Meaning that the sheet that says that you're allowed to wash with wine is like a, you might think that's an inappropriate kind of even a derogatory. Like it's not a respectful use of the food. Washing your hands with wine, that's not respectful. No, but they follow the sheet that says you're allowed to do anything with bread. Come on, Rabbi Yosi, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Modim Chachamim L'Riezer, Bekol Shel Bracha, She'in Varchin Alav, Ad She'itin L'Tochomai. Right, and whose shita is it that you make a birka? That you make a brei pri agaf in? That is Rabbi Eliezer's shita, and Rabbi Yosi says that in the name of Chanina, that the Chachamim are modim to Rabbi Eliezer that in a kos bracha you have to put water into it. Rabbi Eliezer says you don't have to put water into it. You always make a brei pri agaf in, Rabbi Eliezer says you need to put water in it. Chachamim says no, you don't need to put water in it. However, by a kos bracha, even the Chachamim would say you need to put water in it. It's not appropriate, it's not fit to give kavod to the ma'amad, to the stature, with wine, if it's wine that's not even drinkable. So you gotta put wine, that's the chulei alma, if it's a kos shel bracha. My time, Rav Oshia, ba'inan mitzvah min amuvcha. Because you're supposed to do the mitzvah in the nicest way possible. V'rabbanan l'mai chazi. Okay, well, Rabbanan, you say you make a brei pri agaf on this. What does this even fit for? We can't even drink this. It's too strong. Amrezera chazi l'kuraiti. No, it's used to make a certain type of medicine that people would drink because they would drink this to make them feel better. So it constitutes as roi l'achila. Tan Rabbanan, and therefore you make a brei pri agaf. Tan Rabbanan, dalat varam ne'emur b'pat. There are four things that were said about pot because it's honorable and we have to give proper cover to the bread. Ein manichin bazar chai al pot. You can't put raw meat on pot; it ruins it. Ein on bread because it ruins it. Ein avrin kos male al pot. You're not supposed to pass a full cup over the bread because you're afraid you might spill on it. Ein zorkin at pot, and you can't throw bread. Ein sochin at akeir of a pot. And you're not allowed to balance your soup bowl in the pot. We're afraid that it might spill over; it's going to dissolve the bread. Ameimar, Marzutra, Rav Ashi, Karchul Rifta Vayadadi. So three of them ate bread together. Aitin Kamayo Tavi Rimoni, and they brought before them dates and pomegranates. Shaka Marzutra took it. Patakul Kame, the Rav Ashi did Satna. And he threw it in front of Rav Ashi and it landed in his dish. Amarelo Savala Marla Aratanya Ein Zorkin at Ochlin. Wait, does master not hold? You're not allowed to throw food? Aiva Patanya. Yeah, let's talk about bread. It wasn't talking about pomegranates and dates. Vatanya, we don't learn a brighta, Kishemja in Zorkin at the pot, kach in Zorkin at the Ochlin. Didn't learn a brighta that just like you can't throw bread, you can't throw other food? Amarle, Vatanya, Avapisha in Zorkin at the pot, Aval Zorkin at the Ochlin. I can quote brightness too. Even though you're not allowed to throw bread, you're allowed to throw other food. Ella logasha. And the two of these brightos, they're not actually contradictory one to the other. Right? Things that will dissolve other than bread. Things that will dissolve like bread, you're not allowed to throw because it ruins it. But things that are not going to dissolve, that you're allowed to throw. Tan Rabbanan, Mamshichin Yayin Mitzinor Lefechata Lefnekala. You pour out wine before the chatan nekala, but it's not a bizayon because you're supposed to catch it in a vessel, right? Vizorki lefnen kalayot ve'gozim, and you throw in front of them roasted wheat kernels and nuts, bimot chama. But only in the dry months, lo bimot chama. You don't do it in bimot chama. Aval lo glusko. Why don't you do it in bimot chama? Because it's muddy, and if the food falls in the mud, it's disgraceful, and we don't want to disgrace the food. Lo gluskaot. However, you never ever throw cakes. You don't do it either of them because you know either way it's going to be destroyed, whether or not there's mud. Or you didn't make a bracha. But try to put food in your mouth. Below bracha. You didn't make a bracha. Misvalkan l'tzad echad mvarach. So you push it to one side and you make the bracha. We're not going to quote three seemingly contradictory brightens. Tanya Chada, one of the brightens taught, bowl on. You just swallow it. Yeah, you're starting in your mouth. You shouldn't make a bracha. But it's starting in your mouth. Tanya idach, poltan. And the other Tana says, you spit it out. Tanya idach. And a third brighta says, misalkan. Right? You put it on one side of your mouth. Lokasha. And these Gemaras aren't contradicting each other. Haratanya Pola. And that which it says, swallow b'mashkin. That's talking about drink. Because you spit out drink, you can't put that back in your mouth. It's disgusting. You're going to lose it entirely. Vahadatanya, that which you taught polta, and you're supposed to spit it out, midi lo mamis. The things that don't dissolve. So it's going to be intact, and you can put it back in your mouth. Vahadatanya, misalkan b'midi lo mamis. And if you and that which we said, push it to one side of your mouth, we're talking about this solid food that would actually dissolve. What's like if you're allowed to put it into the side of your mouth, I'd rather not take it out of my mouth and put it on my plate and put it back in. Let me just put that in the side of my mouth too, if that's the option. And then I make the bracha. Explain as follows. It's written, your mouth should be filled with praise. So you make a bracha, it's better that you don't already have something in your mouth. If you're going to lose the food entirely, so it's okay. But if it's going to dissolve, but if it's not going to dissolve when it leaves your mouth, better that you say praise with all of your mouth. You fill up your mouth with praise of Kodesh Baruch Hu, and not to have your mouth occupying other things at the time.